Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us now as we focus on the five dangers of avoiding church. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what our attitudes should be. Lord, we do not get help today from the media or from any other place in history or any other place in the present time. And we pray, Father, that you would remove the distractions, that you would help us to hear you, help us to see what you are doing. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful and glorious name. And we all said together, amen. Remain standing for the reading of God's word as we look at five spiritual dangers of skipping church. Five spiritual dangers of skipping church. Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and with honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish that the paths of the sea, or that go through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. May God add a blessing to his word. You may be seated. There are five spiritual reasons why you should not avoid church. I have never in my life ever preached a sermon like this before. Never. Yet at the time we live in, a time that is rife with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the rest of it in the last 5 years, which has changed elections, moved things around, made people believe things. And when I look at Facebook, I want to tell you something. I see Christians saying things that they never would have said ever before. In my mind, there are all kinds of passages that Paul says to Timothy, stay away from these words. Yet I see these words appearing on fighting between Christians, arguing on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, and all around. One of the biggest problems that we have in this time, the time in which you live, the time is a time in which all of social media has poured into us what we want. The idea of avoiding church because we just don't have time is absolutely deadly to the Christian. Now, I want to tell you that it's important we focus on this for a minute. We learn it because you need to understand that the outside world, the world outside the church, who has not invited Jesus Christ into their life, does not help us. If we have invited the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, that's different. We are different people. You are different. If you have invited Jesus Christ into your life and you've said, Lord Jesus, I desire you to be Lord, you are different. Do you believe that? It's important to understand that because so much of today's world, they all just want to get along and be one. If you have invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart, into your soul, you are different. Do you believe that? If you are different, that means some things. We need to look at this. We need to understand it. The outside world does not help us because we have this amazing idea, and it's just outstanding, and it's really only been relevant in the last 100 years, if that, maybe 70 years, and that is the thing called the media. Radio, television, internet, YouTube, and many other places that we could call. This is instant media, when we want it, how we get it. Very interesting, you know, because the media tells us things that are absolutely 100%, totally and completely false. All the time. Now, I am somebody who broadcasts on the media, and I deal with all of the people in the stations, and I want to tell you something. It's hard because of the way they're set up. $800 million in the Toronto market on the internet. The Toronto market is Canada's largest city. And in the Toronto market, there's $800 million designed for media. Actually, there's another $200,000 that's designed just for internet, but that makes it about a lot of money. Now, when you think about that, you begin to understand that people who are in TV stations work hard so that you will watch their programs, listen to their programs, and you will be involved in their programs because they want to know what you think. They don't want to know what you think. They don't care. They want to look like they care. They don't care. As long as you make the money. How do you make the money? Just by being there. Look at all the sports facilities. Look at last night's game, Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, on the internet, they're in St. Louis and other places. You don't have this with hockey, but in Canada, we have this with hockey. Hockey's an amazing thing. It generates millions of dollars. You know, our hockey team, the last time our hockey team won a Stanley Cup, I was like 2 years old. And I was what? Oh, 1965. I was three. No, I was four. 67. 67. I was six. 1967, 6 years old. And that place is packed. You buy a ticket there in the higher upper nosebleed seats, and it's $135 per seat. Now it's just gone up. Oh, look at that. For a team that is not even promised to make the playoffs and hasn't made it for years. Now, what in the world is that about? And you ask a bunch of questions. You say, wait a minute. What about football? What about baseball? What about basketball? All of these great sports. They're great sports, and I love to go to them and spend all kinds of money. buying the hats, the t-shirts, the balls, and all of the things. Money, money, money. It's so funny. It's a rich man's world. 5%. You as a Canadian, an average Canadian, live like 5% of the world. Very important that we hear this. Because the media sells us. They don't care what you think. They could care less. They just want you there so you can make the money. New media is no better. You've got Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all these other things. I'm not naming the others because it gets too labored down, but you need to understand that when you see these little ads about that big and you can say no or yes to them, they're competing for your attention. Do you really think they care about what you're saying? They don't care, as long as it's not terrorism or something else. New media doesn't help you because every single one of these medias, listen carefully, every single one of these people are telling you great things like, you can have it your way. Yes, yes, have it your way. You can have a hamburger at Burger King your way. Get up and get away at McDonald's. You can just have it how you want it. What does that say to you about life? Whenever you look at a car commercial and you say, that's a great commercial, I love that car commercial, think about that. The car, they're going to sell it to you for money. See, everything is pitched to win and take your money. I got $5. That's it. And somebody will be in here saying, oh, money, $5, $5, $5. They've even got a commercial now about pizza. And the guy's running around saying, $5, $5, $5. Isn't that funny? But it's not. That's the truth. Everybody's looking for your money. I need you to understand that because God is not. He wants your heart. We need to understand that you will not be helped by the media in any form from the outside world. You will not. The inside world is interesting because the inside world is fascinating. We have these ideas. One of the ideas is church denominations. I'm Baptist, I'll always be Baptist. Lived a Baptist, die a Baptist, born a Baptist, and I'm Baptist, Baptist, and by the way, Baptist. And the Pentecostals are like, well, we're Pentecostals. We're Pentecostals, and by the way, only Pentecostals. And the Presbyterian, we're Presbyterians. You get all these denominations. Can I ask you a question? Tell me, what denomination was Jesus Christ? What denomination were the disciples? Church denominations are destructive. I've never seen so much fighting on Facebook between church denominations. What in the world? It's interesting because the other thing is church fighting is fascinating. Church fighting is amazing to me because you get people in a church and they fight. Fight about the King James translation. Only King James was changed 4 times. Which version? Translations. People fight, bicker, yell and scream at each other online. Paul said to Timothy, avoid such words that lead to destruction, for the day is near. And all of this gets us involved in the destruction. Church fighting is important because we need to understand how we need to be at church. But wait a minute. Church is about me. I go to church to see what I can get. Really? The inside world is fascinating as well. The new society and the new media. Like I said, it's everybody talking about and speaking about the different things. Well, he said that, he said that. Well, he's wrong. I've never seen such a terrible mess up as this movie, The Shack. And in this room, there are half the people who hate it and half the people who love it. How do I know? Because I watch Facebook. Never in my life, ever have I seen such fighting. Such absolute fighting. Doesn't help you. Now, there are five spiritual dangers and devastations in the practice that we have adopted today. Very important that you understand this. I've never preached a sermon like this before, but I have found after some time, and I found Nathan Ross's five spiritual dangers on the internet, read it through many times, looked at it, just a page and a half. And he speaks because he's a Baptist, and he says we have 16 million Baptists in America. 6 million of them go to church. 10 million Baptists do not go to church. And he writes about that. And he said, that is a travesty. It's amazing. We worship here. Janice worships the amazing songs, glorious, beautiful. You're all here. I don't really need to say this to anybody who's here. But, you know, all these seats I pray for Saturday night, I say, Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Every seat. May this person know you. And God has already done that. Not because I prayed it, but he's already done that. God is here and he speaks and he helps people. And there are people who are at home who are in terror. And God says to them, I can heal you, but they won't come to church. God can do anything, but there are some people who need to hear people tell them, God loves you. You're encouraged. Be strong. They need somebody to pray with them. Pray, P-R-E-Y. Pray with them. Very interesting. These five spiritual devastations, I would recommend that you write them down because you need to take note of them and you need to study them. The first one is interesting when we avoid going to a godly church, and I say godly church for a reason. Godly church, because there are many churches that are not godly. You need to go to a church that teaches the Bible, the Word of God, a godly church that is expressing the Bible. The first reason point that we want to make is we miss out on God's primary design for spiritual growth and well-being. I don't go to church. I don't have to. I watch the television and listen to me carefully. Not everybody can come to church. But I need to tell you something. And I don't want to embarrass her, but I need you to understand this because this is very important. There's a person here who was on her way somewhere this morning and she had trouble and fell down the stairs. She knew that she had to come anyway. Because she comes to church for the right reason. She's very sore. She's very troubled. But she came here anyway. It's the person to my right signing. Tanya knows why she's here. She understands. The question is, why did you come? Why did you come to church? You see, it's important that we realize that we'll miss God's primary design for spiritual growth and well-being when we don't come to church. I would take you to Hebrews chapter 10. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, you should bring your Bibles to church on your internet or on the phone or whatever you want, but bring your Bibles to church, because there'll come a day when I won't have the slides anymore just because I decided not to. And you'll need your Bibles in church. Church, Bibles, Bibles, church? Yeah. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, the Hebrews is an interesting passage written to the Jews who are Christians. That's why it's called Hebrews. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which he consecrated, God, he consecrated for us, for you, through the veil that is his flesh, the cross, which is on the walls right there. High priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. He does what he says and says what he does. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love. 1 Corinthians 13 love, not the Hollywood love. And if you want to know what that is, look up 1 Corinthians 13. It's in the Bible. To stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, the assembly of ourselves together. As is the matter of some, by exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the end of time. That's a day of the Lord approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of truth. The knowledge of truth. You're different. If you have invited Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you've received the knowledge of truth. There are no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. What is God saying? Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. I need you to remember something. We cannot miss out on God's design and teaching for us. We must not miss out on it. Because the important thing for us to remember is the church was made for encouragement of God's people. Paul would say to Timothy, I want you to devote yourself to public reading of the scripture in the church. You come here, and there's a lot of reading of scripture. The reason that we believe that, Janice and I, is that you have to understand that that's the way you are encouraged. Reading of the scripture. It's encouraging. Supernatural book. The next thing we need to remember is when we do not come to church, we disobey God. We disobey God. You say, well, wait a minute, Rod, this is, you know, come on now. This is 2017. I can watch Tex Humble, or not Tex Humble, he's gone, but I can watch other people, I can watch, you know, other people on the TV. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, I'm just saying that, and on the internet, I thank you for coming on the chat room, for being involved with us. But those who are watching on the internet who are just observing, and you've never been to church, I have a message for you. Can we get a close-up camera? Because I need to give a right here? Okay. DJ, this will be the close-up camera. I'll just come up here just so you can see it, okay? And get as soon as you're ready, let me know when you got the close-up. Is it good? Okay. Go to church! Go to church! Bible-believing church! You don't have one? Start one. We cannot sit on the side. We've got to move. When we do not come to church, we disobey God. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up love and good works. Love is not the love of Hollywood. It's the love of 1 Corinthians 13. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is coming very soon when there will be an end of time. Are you ready? There's so many other places I could announce that Paul said to all of the churches at Thessalonica and everything, encourage one another with these words. I need you to remember, we must obey God's plan. Obey God. Obey. That's a good thing. Obedience is good for our faith. Everybody's into rebelling and, you know, striking against that one and striking against this one. And let's strike against the president. Well, we'll strike against this guy. We'll strike against that guy. And we'll go over here and strike against him. And by the way, we'll strike over here. Everybody's striking everywhere. But who's obeying God? Well, we have made the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. So it seems to me like Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Obey his commandments. What are his commandments? We'll read the Bible. You don't read the Bible? We got some booklets at the back called Life Lessons Quick Study. And you can get the quick study and you can read it. Very important. Third, and this is important. When we do not come to church, we make a statement to the world, God is not worthy of our worship. When we don't come to church, we say everything that Janice is doing, everything that the worship team is doing, and by all means, everything that Rod says, and that Pastor Don says, and that all the pastors say, is not worth it. I'd rather be in hockey. I'd rather take lessons with the violin. I'd rather be with my family. Disobeying God. We do not come to church when we make a statement. When we do not come to church, we make a statement to the world that God is not worthy of worship. Listen carefully. Revelation chapter 3 is important. This is the New Testament, just so you know, after the cross. These things says the Amen. That's God. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. He He says this from the beginning. I know your works. God knows what you do on Sunday. He knows what you do every day of the week, and he knows why you do it. So you can't put it over on God. You can't say, okay, well, I'm going to do this, okay? I'm going to tell the Lord I'm doing this. You can't do that. God knows everything. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, listen carefully, I will vomit you out of my mouth. To the church, this is what he says. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes, your own eyes, with salve, that you might see. To the church, this is what God says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Come back to Jesus Christ. You see, behold, I stand at the door and knock on the church door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Remember, we spend our time on what we think is important. If God is important to you, you will come to church. Yep. You will come to a Bible-believing church. You say, well, I don't know. I don't like the direction this church is going, Rod. I don't like the direction. I have a problem with that. Well, then fix it. Fix it. Don't just complain about it. Fix it. We have people right now that we're looking for to help us out in the nursery. We have people on the crew. We're looking for them. Please. Fix it. It's important that we understand the fourth point. When we do not come to church, we cannot minister to anyone. Not going to do it. You can't. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. Let it be worthy of that. That's amazing. I got to pray now, Lord, help me. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, Paul says, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. Everybody say, striving together. That sounds good, doesn't it? Okay, then stop with the Facebook arguing, please. Because you're not striving together. Striving together for faith of the gospel and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of punishment, perdition, a punishment of man, but to you it is of salvation, that is, and that from God, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. To suffer? But I was told I should take time because I need time, I deserve time. God is not telling you to take time. He'll protect you if you give yourself to him. He will help you. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Listen, it's important that you understand. Do you come to church to get what you want? Good question, isn't it? because missing church robs us of the opportunities. You see, there are opportunities here. You cannot minister to anyone who needs prayer or a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement, prayer, is not just for the pastors, it's for you to think about and pray for each other, to get to know each other. You see, you can't welcome an unbeliever who does not normally come to church because you're not in church. If you're tired of the way the church is going, change it. Do something in the church. You need to remember, we come to church not for our own benefit. We come for the benefit of the kingdom of God. We come for the kingdom of God. That's why we come to church. Very important. And finally, when we do not come to church, we skip out on foretaste of heaven. Heaven, you got to be kidding me. They don't like me at church. This guy picks on me at church. This guy's not nice to me at church. That's not heaven. I need you to look at Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, 1 Corinthians 13, love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, capital S, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Everybody say like-minded. Like-minded. Isn't that great to say? Hard to do. Great to say, hard to do. Like-minded. Yeah, I gotta change my mind. I can't do what I want anymore. I gotta think about what you want. All the men said, "No, that's not good. I didn't come to church for that." Really? And having the same love. 1 Corinthians 13, all the women said, "No, I came to be loved." Really? Being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Nothing be done through selfishness or conceit. Did you know that the worship team is selected by God? There have been people who've come to us and said, "I sing at the bars on the weekend and I can sing. I'll sing for you." Many. Every person my wife chooses, it's not because she has political things in her mind. That's not why she does that. It's not a political thing. She chooses because God tells her. God chooses. It's not conceit. It's the choice of God. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Say interest of others. Interest of others. Really? Yes, really. We need to remember the church is to have the attitudes of heaven, because God must be present in us as we come to worship. Here's what I have. Here's an assignment for you, okay? So what you do, In the morning you come to church, and if you drive a car, that's good. So you get in the car and you come to church, and on the way to church you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to church. I'm going to need to be filled with the Spirit. Oh God, fill me with your Spirit because I'm come to church." Watch what the Lord does. if you really mean it. And then you get up on Monday morning and you're like, man, that Sunday was pretty good. Lord, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm going to work, but, you know, could I be filled with your Spirit? And then Tuesday, you're like, hey, man, that was pretty good Monday. Lord, I'm just saying, I'm going to push it here. I'm thinking, Tuesday, fill me with your Spirit. And then Wednesday's a ride. You say, Lord, I need your Spirit. Thursday, I need your Spirit. Friday, I need your Spirit. And Saturday is a total day of complete filling with your Spirit, Lord. What have you done? You've changed and you've become what God wants you to be. Somebody filled with the Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would speak to people at this moment. People who love you, people who know you, people who see you. I pray that you would speak to them. And Father, I'm going to ask if there's anybody in this room who has never made you Lord, never prayed the sinner's prayer. And I pray, Lord, that as you begin to speak, you would talk to those people as well. So listen to me carefully. If you have never prayed the sinner's prayer, I want to encourage you. This is your opportunity. You need to pray and make Jesus Lord of your life. And if you want to do that, we're all going to pray it because we all need to do this every day just to make sure that we understand what we've been saved from. Everybody will repeat the prayer after me and say this. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe that you came on the cross and died. And I believe that you rose from the dead, alive, physically. And I believe that you can take my sin away as you become Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Father God, I pray that you would speak to everyone here. Help them to understand what it is that you have done for us. Help us to understand what it is that we can do for you. We are on a battleship, not a cruise ship. And the truth is that the missiles and all of the things we have are superior to anything the enemy has. Satan's biggest tactic is to keep us from firing, keep us from manning the battle stations. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you would help us to love the people in this town, love the people in this province, love the people in this nation, and love the people in this world. To go against sin, forgive us of our sin and help us. In Jesus' wonderful name, and we said together, amen. Amen. Please stand with me. Nathan Ross put the original document together. Tonight we're going to be in here for prayer and for a Bible teaching. Our Bible teaching will be from Timothy. And we're going to pray for the church and the missionaries in April. We're going to launch a special prayer emphasis. And we're going to pray that God helps us to win the community. Win your neighbors. That's what we're praying for. So you're being prayed for tonight. And were not aware of it, come at 6:00. And be a part of the 30 people who are praying for you because it's open to everybody. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace as he writes his name on your life this week. God bless you. Go in the grace and Jesus Christ. The altar is open if you should want to pray. Good night.